The righteous person is a person in right standing with God who... Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife or the bride has made herself what? Ready. The Amplified puts it this way, let us rejoice and shout for joy, exulting and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb is at last, the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, and his bride has prepared herself. We make ourselves ready how? Through putting on the right garment. Amen? The Bible does talk about someone who did not have the right garment and had to, was thrown out of the marriage supper. Praise the Lord Jesus. We are not of them that are going to be thrown out. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is our main text, comes from there. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, the righteousness of faith is the righteousness of the new covenant, or the righteousness of the New Testament, or the current valid righteousness. We talked about the fact that righteousness is conformity to God's standard for right standing with him. So, and we said that unrighteousness is anything that does not conform or is contrary to God's standard for being in right standing or good standing with him. Praise the Lord. So when he talks about here, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ brought about the end to the works of the law being the condition for righteousness. That's what he's saying. Amen? For Moses described the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. It was in the living on the, according to the standards of the law that men were declared righteous. If you kept the law, you were righteous. Amen? That was why the Bible, the Apostle Paul said that when it had to do with the righteousness of the law, that he was blameless. Praise the Lord. Now, but the righteousness which is of faith, the right standing which is of faith, hallelujah, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. We'll back up a little. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith, the right standing or conformity to God's standard for righteousness under the New Testament or New Covenant is by faith. And it speaks like this. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. What is that? What's he trying to say? You know, we go around saying stuff like, some people say that I want to make heaven. And another person says, you know, if you do this, you can't make heaven. He says we shouldn't think or talk like that. Praise the Lord. Or somebody is going to go to hell. All right? We shouldn't talk or think like that for the believer. This is what he says. He said, don't think like that. When you think like that in your heart, All right, you're bringing Christ down from above, but what seeth it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth or acknowledge with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ or the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the condition for righteousness. It says, with the heart, a man believes that he is made righteous. And with the mouth, confession is made, or acknowledgement is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. So under this new covenant, we do it not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Hallelujah. Now, let me go back and do some elementary stuff here. What is a doctrine? Glory be to God. Doctrine are sets of, or are precepts, instructions, principles of faith or beliefs approved by an established authority for the purpose of teaching and spiritual guidance of those within that belief system or sphere of that governing authority. That's for our sake, all right? That's for our purpose. Doctrine means precepts, instructions, principles of faith contained in the Bible for the purpose of teaching and giving spiritual guidance to those who believe on or would believe or will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we're talking Bible here, we're not talking about paraphrases. In fact, the word there should have been scriptures, the holy scriptures. Amen? Amen. Should be the scriptures. Amen? Those of us who believe, when we look at scripture, it tells us what the doctrine is, the teaching should be. Amen? Now, anything that is contrary to the doctrine of Christ is not for us. In 2 John, he said in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So if somebody does not acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh, that person is an antichrist, or the spirit behind that teaching is an antichrist spirit. Praise the Lord. He said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your house, neither bid them God's speed. For he that biddeth him God's speed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Hallelujah. So there is a doctrine, and the governing authority is the scriptures. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that's the governing authority. Praise God. It's the Lord. That's what the Bible says, that no prophecy of the Bible has a private interpretation. Amen. The governing authority is the Lord. Amen. And is profitable for doctrine. So the basis of doctrine is the word of God. Amen? Are the scriptures. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if a man is teaching from the Bible, from the scriptures, rightly dividing the word of truth, that person is thoroughly furnished. That person has everything the person needs to teach. Amen? to be a guide to people in the light of the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're dealing with the doctrine of righteousness. We cannot impute into something what God never intended. And we ought to know that as we go through the scriptures. Amen? What we believe came through the word of God as the Holy Ghost unveils scriptures unto us. Amen? So as the day is approaching, the Bible says we are made partakers of Christ if we hold at the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So we are talking about righteousness. The righteousness of faith is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the righteousness of the law. We're talking about the righteousness of faith. Hallelujah. And the teaching of that righteousness of faith. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, I'm not attacking good works. You need to understand what I'm saying. I'm not one of those preachers who will say, it doesn't matter what you are doing. You know, no. I don't come at it from that angle. That's not wisdom. That's not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God gives us the spirit with which God is saying something. Praise the Lord. So what we're trying to do with the doctrine of righteousness is to have our hearts in the right place and know what we're doing. Amen. It says, well, say that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was not declared righteous because he offered Isaac. Now to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He's not trying to earn salvation. You see, in Christ, so that somebody doesn't hear it at this point and run with it. In Christ, what Jesus did was enough for our salvation. So we are coming from a place of righteousness. The works we are doing is not what makes us righteous. Though the righteous do those works, we have already been made righteous before we started doing good deeds. Our righteousness was a free gift because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Amen. Now, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, without a precondition of works. He's not talking about post-salvation works. He's talking about pre-salvation works. That God, he says, blessed is the man unto whom God imputed righteousness. God has already imputed righteousness to us before we did any works, without works, without you doing anything. How do people get saved? They come, say, pray after me. Say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And Lord, you raised him from the dead. Is that not what we're saying? Forgive me because I'm a sinner. On the basis of what Jesus did, who died for me, and you raised from the dead. That's it. And you're saved. Did you have to carry a truckload of sand? No. Did you fast 10 days? No. Did you have to go on the cross? No. Praise the Lord. Did you have to clean the whole church to get saved? No. Did you come to the altar, kneel, cry for 24 days before you got saved? No. Nothing like that. You just came, said a few words, believed him with your heart, and you got saved. Amen? So God saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God will not impute sin to that man that he has declared righteous. We're talking about pre-salvation. That's what he's talking about here. Pre-salvation. Don't worry about post-salvation because it's the same process. But whilst he's talking, you need to know where he's coming from. Some people use this to justify living recklessly after they have been saved without an understanding of the revelation of the fact that a new nature has been given. The purpose of giving us the free gift of righteousness is not for us to remain the way we were before we got saved. It means that our minds have not been renewed because the works are coming out of the mind. Evil works come out of an unrenewed mind. A mind still believing that they are weak to the old nature. But let's keep going. Praise God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Commit this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. For we see that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How is it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness will be imputed unto them also. Now let me say this about circumcision and the righteousness of faith that Abraham received. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Is that not true? But now God gave him another set of instructions that will be a work within that righteousness. The righteous person is a person in right standing with God who continues with God. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The Bible says, he that had this confidence, the confidence of what? That as he is, so are we in this world, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Praise the Lord Jesus. God chose not to allow him to be circumcised before he gave him the free gift of righteousness so that Abraham can still be the father of faith even unto them who were not physically circumcised but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, to verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which was the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Well, what is he saying here? All right, praise the Lord Jesus. He's saying that when we operate by faith, all right, it is certain. What's happening in the middle of it is inconsequential. Have your eye on the ball. Let me put it this way. The Lord had told Paul that he should not worry, that as he has testified of him in Jerusalem and in Israel and all those places, he will still bear witness unto him in Rome. A few days later, some things started happening. He got into some trouble. They arrested him. He was supposed to be killed. Things didn't go that way. And then he got on a boat headed to Rome, right? According to the word of the Lord. Say, yeah, it's going to come to pass now. And all of a sudden, there was a shipwreck. Having your eye on the ball is saying, I'm going to Rome. There can be a shipwreck. There can be earthquakes. I don't care. I'm going to Rome. Praise the Lord. So that makes it sure. The word, the sure word of prophecy, the word that God gave to him, he received it. And that's why the Bible says, against hope. He believed in hope. He couldn't be bothered about the deadness of his deadness and the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was confident, being fully persuaded that the things that God promised were so, that he was able to do it. It was that same faith he carried to the sacrifice of Isaac. He said, if the promise was in Isaac, I reckon that this sacrifice on the mountain cannot be the end of this journey. He believed that God, who said that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed, all right? It means that if he dies for any reason, God will raise him up. Hallelujah. So you have your eye on the ball. Praise God. You don't lose sight. Your faith is in place, locked in. I am the righteousness of God. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. It's a free gift. I have received it.